Blog Talk Radio.
Let's start the show.
I believe in you.
Yeah.
You know the door.
You're tuned in to NSF Radio.
You must keep the
host, Brother Alfred, and Carl.
Once the bell has tolled, and once again we are on the Powerhouse Squad, ready to let you know, it's a new year, it's a new time, it's a new day, and we, the Powerhouse Squad. All right, hey, everybody, firecrackers are out, everybody buying fireworks in their house. Of course, hopefully you're doing safe, social distancing and keeping things apart, but still being together. It doesn't matter on that part. And you know, what's up? My name is Brother Alfred, and guess what's up? You are tuned into the Powerhouse Squad on NSF Radio Show with your host and your co-host is my brother, my right hands, my brothers. Are you in the house, Power Squalls? Sound off.
What's going on, y'all?
All right. Brother Tone is in the house. Do we have the philosopher, the mighty, mighty, mighty man, the man with the wisdom of the right hand and the left hand? Is Brother Kofi in the house?
Yes, Jumbo. What's good, everybody? Kofi's over here. How y'all doing?
All right. Now, we're keeping it real, keeping it 100. Listen. I want to tell you, everybody, that, you know, we had a extraordinary, stressful year. 2020 has been one of those years I swear you can put into the record books. It's not a joke. It's not even, you can laugh about some of it. You know, we've lost some great people along the way as too, to this the pandemic has been going on across the world. We would definitely, you know, we're saying we well acknowledge those who have passed away. You know, we've lost some celebrities that, you know, we all heard about our dear big bully brother, Brother Tiny, a.k.a. Debo, was passed away. You know, that hurt a lot of people. You know, because I remember when I was a kid, I saw him fight Hulk Hogan in that movie. He had that Z on his head, and I was sitting there like, what the heck? You know, this dude's scary. I started having nightmares, man. I was going crazy. I was like, mommy. But anyways, we kept it real, and I grew up out of it. But you know, I seen him in other roles. He played a good role as that one. Also, another shocking one that just hit the news yesterday. Marianne from the Gilligan's Island, she passed away of COVID. Yes, yesterday, I think, or was it a couple of days ago? But they just now reported about that has happened. So, you know, that hurt a lot of people because, you know, a lot of people used to have, remember that old debate, who you think's better, Marianne or Ginger, it's like, what the heck? You know, all these people that you used to watch as a kid are gone. Now, you know, we went to heaven, right? There might be a big old party, man. Shoot, Tupac up there, Biggie up there, man. Shoot, well, no, I don't know about Biggie because you know what Biggie said. But anyway, you know, it's just been one of those times, you know. It's been really, very, very crazy year. We had to deal with the election. There's issues was going on with that, and it's been one crazy thing after another. You know, I just want to get into this today, you know, but we're going to play a little clip of seeing what's going on, and we want you to listen to, this is definitely, you know what we like to do. It's that news report. It's coming.
With Year 2020 was quite intense so far, don't you think? Let's recap together what already happened in 2020. Welcome to our channel, Daily Joy Time. January 1, 2020 marked the beginning of a brand new decade that many looked at with optimism and as a chance at a new lease on life. But as summer 2020 progresses, many are wondering if this year can get any worse, following a string of wildfires, airplane crashes, social disturbance and riots, the deadly explosions, and various natural disasters, all under the cloud of the coronavirus pandemic. So, let's jump straight to the first event. Australian bushfire. The 2019-2020 Australian bushfire season, known as the Black Summer, began with several serious and uncontrolled fires in June 2019, mainly in the southeast of the country. The fires, which peaked during December and January, have since been contained and extinguished. Nearly 3 billion animals were killed or displaced during Australia's devastating bushfires of the past year, scientists say. The findings meant it was one of the worst wildlife disasters in modern history. More than half of all Australians have been directly affected by the bushfire crisis, including millions whose health has been affected. As of March 9, the fires, unprecedented for Australia in terms of duration and intensity, burned an estimated 18.6 million hectares, destroyed over 5,900 buildings, and killed at least 34 people. Sounds already awful, right? Let's see if it can get worse. Tall volcano eruption. Red-hot lava gushed out of a volcano in the Philippines on January 12, after a sudden eruption of ash and steam forced villagers to flee and also shut down Manila's international airport, offices, and schools. There were no immediate reports of casualties or major damage from Tall Volcano's eruption south of the capital. But clouds of ash blew more than 100 kilometers, 62 miles north, reaching the bustling capital, Manila, and forcing the shutdown of the country's main airport with more than 240 international and domestic flights canceled. Pretty harsh start of the year, huh? Before we move to the next one, hit that subscribe and click the bell to make 2021 the best year in history. And now, back to 2020. Devastating floods in Indonesia. Floods in Indonesia's capital Jakarta and nearby towns on the early hours of January 1 killed 66 people and forced almost 400,000 to flee their homes. At least 182 neighborhoods had been submerged in the city's greater area, inundating thousands of homes and buildings, including the presidential palace, and paralyzing transport networks. Overnight rains caused more rivers to burst their banks in Greater Jakarta, sending muddy water up to 5 feet deep into residential and commercial areas. According to the country's disaster management agency, BNPB, many of the victims drowned or were buried by landslides. Several died of hypothermia and electric shocks. If you like this video, give it a thumbs up. Earthquakes in Turkey and the Caribbean. A total of 41 people were killed, and more than 1,600 were injured in eastern Turkey, after an earthquake rattled the region on January 24. The 6.7 magnitude quake struck near the town of Sivris, in eastern Elazığ province, causing at least 10 buildings to collapse, Interior Minister Süleyman Soylu said. The earthquake was felt in the neighboring provinces of Diyarbakir, Malatya, and Adıyaman, and the neighboring countries of Armenia, Syria, and Iran. About 1,607 people were hospitalized, Turkey's Disaster and Emergency Management President, AFAD, said. Another powerful 7.7 magnitude earthquake struck in the Caribbean on January 28, prompting brief tsunami warnings and office evacuations as far away as Florida. The quake hit between Jamaica, the Cayman Islands and Cuba at a depth of 10 kilometers, 6.2 miles, the U.S. Geological Survey, USGS, said. It is the largest earthquake in the Caribbean since 1946. Some offices were temporarily evacuated in Miami and parts of Jamaica. How is your year 2020 going so far? Let's start a conversation right now, in the comments below. After you do, let's continue. Any plane crashes in the bucket? Sure. Pakistan airliner crash. A Pakistan International Airlines flight crashed into houses in Karachi on May 22, killing 97 people. Miraculously, two passengers survived the crash. Airbus has opened an investigation into the plane's strange behavior around takeoff, the latest deadly plane crash in Pakistan's long history of aviation incidents. One crash wasn't enough. There is also Ukrainian jetliner crash in Iran. The beginning of the year also witnessed a dramatic escalation in hostilities between the U.S. and Iran, after a U.S. drone strike killed Iran's most notorious spymaster, Islamic Revolutionary Guards, Corps Commander Qasem Soleimani. This culminated in Iran's military, unintentionally, shooting down the Ukrainian jetliner that crashed, killing all 176 aboard. The plane was shot down, hours after Iran launched a ballistic missile attack on two military bases, housing U.S. troops in Iraq in retaliation for the killing of Soleimani. The Islamic Republic of Iran deeply regrets this disastrous mistake, Iranian President Hassan Rouhani tweeted, offering his condolences and saying that investigations continue to identify and prosecute this great tragedy and unforgivable mistake. And one helicopter crash. Death of Kobe Bryant. On January 26, Kobe Bryant, one of the NBA's all-time greatest players, was killed at age 41 in a helicopter crash near Los Angeles.
All right, everybody. You know what we do. We know what we do. You know what time it is. It's time to dig into what we just heard. Okay, we're going to get into, we go start maybe talk about the earthquakes, the tsunamis. We're going to talk about Kobe Bryant. We're going to talk about the coronavirus. We're going to get into all of that today. We're just going to try to do as much as we can, but we also really just want to hear from you. So don't be shy. Call us in 516-418-5805. That's 516-418-5805. All right. So listen, check us out. We've seen earthquakes, tsunamis this year. This year has been one of crazy years. I mean, we are, if the scripture talks about what, that we would try by fire, then shoot, we've been tried by burning bushes. We've been tried by everything under the sun. And trust me, it's a stressful time all the way around. So I really, you know, you already know what I think. Almost, but I really want to hear from you. I'm from my squad out here, so you know, so sign up, brother. So let me know what y'all think was about being, what's been going on this year, and what does 2020 mean to you?
2020. Can you hear me?
20. Yeah.
2020 was a great year, man. And I mean, in retrospect, man. You got to look at it and be very optimistic in regards to your way of business. And I want to say this to everybody. I definitely understand that there was a lot of challenge. And give me one sec. I know there was a lot of challenge for a lot of people, but there were a lot of people that actually had a lot of success in 2020. Keeping that in mind, you know, you had small business owners as well as large corporations that had to find a way to operate and exist, you know, contrary to any way that they've structured their business in the past. And for those that will, you know, when the clock strikes 12, survive 2020 and roll into 2021, you know, some positive things out there. I'm going to jump on the school bandwagon first and foremost. Thank you to all the educators, for all the public and private educators who have had to do a 180 in regards to their teaching style and educate students from a virtual class standpoint. And thank you. And you know, more specifically with this is because, you know, kids are on the phones. They enjoy the entertainment of digital technology and social media. I actually have them in an environment now since this point, March of 2020, and having them in the virtual classrooms, which has done a couple things on a positive note. It's actually put people in a better situation to get a chance to learn their kids more, who often just, you know, push them out to the bus stop, or, you know, they go, you know, voluntarily, you know, on their own to the bus stops. Now they're spending more time with their parents in a work-at-home situation. They're getting an opportunity to identify more with them. I don't know, for better or for worse necessarily, but I want to say that I think a lot of healthy bonds have been spawned because of the virtual classroom, in-home, work-at-home situation from 2020. So I don't technically look at it as a total bad situation for most people. And then also, and I'm just going to highlight the good stuff, man, for the most part. I'm not really going to dwell on darkness, but all of the high school and collegiate athletes who bravely enough have chosen to participate in amateur athletics, you know, to win losses, forget the championships, man. Number one, for those that see that as a way of life, as trying to make it a professional career, you know, I salute you guys for, you know, taking the chance and risking your lives to, you know, try to excel in as such an adverse environment as a whole. And again, you know, to me, you know, I know a lot of guys like to joust and rouse people, you know, when a sports team lose. You know, as I look at these bowl games right now, to me, there's no losers. You know, despite whatever the score is on the board, you know, I salute to all these young men, mostly right now through football. We're getting into the college basketball for men and women, and all of the women. Definitely, I would never leave you women out in regards to participating in amateur athletics. Like I said, man, it's salute to them who have braved the odds and chose to participate, you know, during this COVID times right now, and excelled, you know, in that environment. And lastly, the other thing I would like to say is just, you know, COVID has forced a lot of people to think differently as a whole. So it actually has spawned a whole new crop of entrepreneurs, man, from a digital media standpoint, well, from a digital standpoint, for, you know, people that have crafted homemade businesses, albeit who have been knitting and sewing forever. You know, that's one that I can think of firsthand because I'm looking at a sweater in my home that was done by someone. But, you know, it has created a whole another small bubble population of entrepreneurs. So, man, to those who have taken the goodness out of this most horrendous season, man, you know, I say salute to you guys and continue to push forward and forge on in 2021.
All right, Brother Kofi, yeah, you up, brother.
Yeah. That was excellent. You actually beat me to the punch. I was going to tell you to go first anyway, but I'm glad that you did. You beat me to the punch. Really, 2020 for me was an outstanding year, man. I think we have to stop doing this. Like, I first of all, and I think, like, you know, Brother Tone alluded to, you know, real talk, I think we have to sometimes get out of the habit of being like, oh, you know, bad things happen in a year. Bad things, you know, happen every year, and this is not the first, you know, pandemic. Let's not forget, you know, that the same way that they were burying people, you know, this year, they were burying people in New York, you know, with HIV. You know, we forget 1920, people were wearing masks and things like that. In countries all over the place and in different cultures, they wear masks all the time going through things. And so sometimes I think because it hit home for more people, something different, and really it changed. It caused us to do something that I think is vital in just life in general. It caused us, 2020 caused people to, you know, become chameleons, so to speak, you know, to be the same creature, to be the same human being, but to change your colors up, you know, to change what you're doing, to change, to be more diverse in your habits, you know, to, you know, 2020 for me has been great as far as getting into the right investments instead of just investing to invest. it was great for me as far as I can tell you, like, the people that we've reached this year, the love that's been shown, the love that's been shown on this network. You know, I mean, even Brother Alfred meeting up with him and doing more things and closing the opportunity he's given, you know, thanks to you, of course, too, brother, you know, but just so many people I've come into contact with. I've had meetings where I've done stuff or even live sessions where there have been 14-year-olds, 16-year-olds, 5- and 6-year-olds listening to stuff that we're talking about as far as history with their parents. You know, had an 18-year-old that I did some stuff over the phone with maybe a week, 2 weeks ago, and it was a young lady who, you know, has a great head on her shoulders and was asking questions because she saved up money. She's ready to start getting into owning real estate and property. And where should she go? Where should she invest? How should she do it? What property? Should she get a mortgage? You know, vital questions that – you know, are things that we should all be looking at, even as people who are much older. You know, she's somebody, you know, less than twice my age, and yet, less than twice as young as I am. And at the same time, you know, she's making great and big decisions to see that we are influencing people. To see, even see that TikTok and Facebook and Twitter, Helena's Instagram, YouTube, all these different things out there, even Clapper, different ones that are coming out, I'm still trying to get into and stuff and learn about. People are out there putting real issues out. And so, you know, I've noticed that children have learned different things, and it's actually bothersome to me. I'm not saying that there's no reason for it. I'm not saying I'm not empathetic to it. I understand, you know. But, you know, it bothers me when we kind of do this thing like 2020. People said, by the way, remember people said the same thing about 2019, too. Without COVID and stuff, you know, oh, it was a bad year. You go back to 2018, you hear a lot of people, oh, it was a bad year. I can't wait for next year. It wasn't my year. And I think we need to stop focusing, you know, so much on the negative and focus on what did you get out of it. And if you didn't get anything out of it, the question, you know, as much as I'm not trying to be tear down people, but the question I think we should start asking is it we didn't get anything out of it or we didn't sow anything into it? You know, in 2020, this was a year where people started, like Brother Tom was talking about, people got up on business. I saw, you know, 10-year-olds, 12-year-olds, I think I know personally, 8-year-olds, you know, people starting their own business and us making sure we were advertising business to help them out. This year, in the beginning of the year, there was a young girl, I think she was 8, another young girl, she was 8 with a family that I knew of, and she started, you know, making, healthcare products at 8 years old, you know, whether it's soaps, bath bombs, things that you can eat, you know, different things like that, packaging them, giving them to people. We started by accident just because of stuff we do. We ended up having to have another nonprofit that, you know, we started up. And my wife has headed up, and we've been able to give coats and clothes and shoes and scarves and hats to people that can't afford anything. We've been able to go into the heart of D.C., the heart of Baltimore, the heart of Georgia, you know, Illinois, be able to send things and give things to people and let them know that we care about it. And, you know, I think there was a lot of good things. Were there some negative things? Yes. Is it hard to lose somebody, to lose a celebrity that maybe you watched your whole life? Even in the wrestling community, I'm not really big in the wrestling. I used to be huge in the wrestling, but I'm not big in the wrestling. But there was a guy who passed away at 41 who was doing really well just 2 months ago, won some kind of championship, whichever one it was. I think the group, the wrestling group is called AEW. He was in WWE, which was the former WWF, and he died. And another wrestler died the same day from back in the day, you know, way back before even, you know, I was into wrestling and stuff. But, you know, stuff like that happens, and people are really caught up. And I think one of the things that we should do when we talk about the people that are lost, including the lives lost to coronavirus, the things that we're mistaking for coronavirus, or whatever your mentality is, you know, understand that life is not promised. Tomorrow's not promised. We're even seeing, you know, without me getting heavy into other issues where we talk about abortion and other things, or just, you know, babies being lost, you know, because of health concerns and miscarriage and stuff like that. You know, life itself is not promised. If you have life, you know, hold on to that life. Tomorrow's not promised. I talk about that all the time, and some people in my family don't like to talk about, you know, what's going to happen after you leave, but, you know, learn to prepare yourself. If something happens to me, what have I left financially, physically, emotionally, spiritually, as a legacy? Because for me, you know, I always say this a lot of times on the stuff that I do through our Kofi Footy brand and SOC stuff, but I tell people a lot of times, don't forget that to be successful, you have to have a successor, you know? And a lot of us are talking about success, and we talk about definitions of success, but if we just look at the word, a successor to your throne, a successor to your empire, a successor to your family, a successor who will be the next patriarch or matriarch, et cetera. That's the definition of success. And so for me, you know, I think the reminder for me is to make sure, you know, this year there are things that happened that are above anything I could have even dreamed. And we're on the verge, you know, having two books coming out in January, having another book that's going to be out in the middle of the year, doing virtual conferences with one of the books. You know, this is the time where people, you know, people are looking for us. Forgive me for the little bit of noise if you can hear it. I'm outside. I'm underneath where some planes are right now. But, you know, these are some people that are, I'm sorry, these are some times that allow us to be able to fulfill a need. And one thing I've heard for years, and I thought it was just, you know, if I be honest with you, as I'm getting mature, I'm realizing these words really ring true. At one point, I would have just said this is just, you know, people giving you some stuff and it's mumbo jumbo and it's not really anything to hold on to. But, you know, I'm really learning and appreciating that we're in a position where we can, in fact, we can become great because we need to fulfill a need. You know, and in 2021, go into 2021 trying to figure out what is it that you do that fulfills a need. And right. All of us fulfill a need that nobody else can ever fulfill. And so if you fulfill a need, when I'm finding, you know, even while we were talking, I'm getting a text message, you know, somebody's donating to some of the stuff that we do. And simply because they listen, not even because of the stuff that they've seen, the pictures of people we have helping in different countries and the things we're doing here in America and all this stuff and how we're trying to get things going for our community next year and, you know, for 10 years down the line. They just literally listened into a conversation that we were having, you know, a live session that we were having last night. And all we did was give out history. We just simply said, hey, these are some things that are hidden. Listen to his story. Here's your story. Here's some things about you. And somebody decided they wanted to donate just to make sure that they sow into something that's great. Are waiting. That's really what your business is at the end of the day. People are waiting for you to fulfill a need. It could be teaching. There's somebody out there that cooks that people need you to cook for the community. There's somebody out there that somebody needs to hear you say words of value. You know, somebody out there needs to see your virtue. Literally, how you represent your family, your God, yourself, your spouse. They're literally looking to see what you do. And obviously we don't go super spiritual on some of this stuff, but, you know, one of the things, because I'm a pastor, one of the things that I hold really.
Hey, brother, go as spiritual as you want today. It's the last one day of the year, so, you know, let it go. What
well,
they say,
just,
let,
not,
your
not,
fur
not,
fly,
deep,
let your fur
well,
fly
I'm,
and your free
right.
fly.
I'm just saying I'm not going to go into a deep theological thing or anything, but what I wanted to say is there's a verse that I really love that we don't talk about that often. It's Romans chapter 8, verse 19. It says that the creature or the creation, if you will, is waiting on the manifestations of the son of Elohim, or the sons of the Most High, the sons of Allah. And what does that mean? That means that there are people out there that are literally living their whole lives. They've never seen anybody be a father, and they've never seen anybody be proud of being black and even be able to say what is black. They've never seen anybody that loves humanity. They've never seen anybody who works for them and will do things even if they're underpaid or don't get paid at all. They've never seen somebody who loves and cherishes themselves, let alone their families, let alone a stranger. You know, I'm still getting used. You know, I am, if you talk about A and B and C and D celebrities, I'm probably like an X celebrity. I'm probably with them on the list. But it's always amazing to me how people will freak out and be excited just because I don't accept calls just for business. If I have extra time and you text our little text line and stuff and I have an opportunity, I'll talk to you, I'll rap with you. And something that small I've seen change people's dispositions. I've seen people who told me they didn't know, you know, if life was worth living. And then I just call them up and, hey, you know, I heard you say something. I saw you say something on the line. It was a little weird to me. Is everything okay? And just something like that is something. And so, you know, 2020, I think, should have been a lot more of that. There's a commercial on TikTok right now. I don't know if it's still on for today. They change their commercials that open up when you come on every time quite often. But there's a commercial with, and forgive me because I don't remember who the, it's a, forgive me for using these terms if you don't like them, but there's a white girl and a black dude. I know the black dude is Lil Yachty. I don't know who the white celebrity is. But they're young and they're both basically saying, like, what did you learn in 2020? The girl says, all I learned in 2020 was, she basically said, like, a recipe for something and some dance moves. And all the guys said was, I just watched TikToks all year because I couldn't go anywhere or whatever. And so they basically, at the end of it, they say, you know, I really didn't get anything out of 2020. I'm just ready to get 2020 over and go into 2021. And I think that's the mindset that's actually the killer. The killer, we're talking about coronavirus and all this, but the mindset is that you had a whole year and you didn't learn anything. And take this from a brother who had to have a whole year, 2, 3, 4 years of his life, really, but a whole year taken away because somebody falsely tried to put me in prison. And then even though I never actually, the grand jury said everything was good the first night I was in prison, therefore I didn't even have a trial. I still had to go through 8, 9 months of them trying to figure out if I could be guilty of anything and getting me to drug tests and getting me to do this and checking my life, and I have to go in to people. I'm not even a criminal. But in that year, I'm thankful that I had my cousin, and he had been through something similar much earlier in his life. I'm the oldest, but to me, he's like a big brother. And he basically said, yo, you know, Kofi, make sure that you understand, like, you know, I had to literally live in a room because I couldn't even go back to where I used to live because of all the stuff they were trying to say. And then I finally, you know, like literally, if you can name a crime, it was said that I tried to create it because somebody literally just hating and not liking me and not liking that I didn't accept help from them, decided that my whole life had to be ruined. And yet he told me, he said, hey, while you're here and you're living in this room in somebody's house, getting your life back together. And then eventually from there, I had to be homeless on the street. I had to go through a lot of stuff. But he told me, get everything you can out of the room, right? You're on lockdown, basically. Your life is on lockdown. But don't stop. Don't, like, you can study in this room. If you can't get a job until you can get a job, fine. Study your butt off. And so when you get out there in society again, when you're talking to people, when you're developing the stuff we're developing now, when you're meeting with the people you're meeting now, that came out of me being stuck in a room. That came out of me not being able to do too much movement. That came out of me not being able to go anywhere without somebody looking and knowing where I was and having an ankle bracelet on me for literally nothing, for literally the judge, the three prosecutors that took turns trying to see if they can get me on anything just because I was a pastor and it would make it look, you know, scandalous and make their careers look good if they could say this black pastor did whatever, whatever, whatever in D.C. At the end of the day, when they couldn't get me after 9 months and me feeling upset and frustrated, I took time out to make sure that I was still learning. I was still praying. I was still meditating. I was trying to figure out what am I going to do 10 years down the road. And here I am 10 years down the road. And we're reaching hundreds of thousands of people a day, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
In different nations, you know, and it's based off of stuff I got off the room. I started having a vision and saying, okay, if they've got me on lockdown in the present, I'm an eternal being, and I'm a human being. So everything about me is past, present, and future. They think they locked me down today. They don't even have to give me more time to prepare for the future. So, you know, 2020 was an example of a lot. I think a lot of people got on lockdown and got in situations where they thought, since I can't do something in the present, I shouldn't keep growing. And for me, you know, just make sure that you keep growing. Use this year as an example. If you didn't use it for growth, if you didn't use it to move on, if you didn't use it to start businesses, if you didn't use it to show love in a way, you're like, I can't even tell you, my marriage has grown in 2020. You know, like things like that. You know, it already was good, and we didn't necessarily have to do less things inside. We found things to do in nature. We found parks we could go to. We found, you know, more stuff about our native background and made sure that we looked at it. We found ways to make sure we stayed in touch with our families and stuff that are in Africa. We did a lot of different things that helped us to grow. And when your marriage grows, your children grows. When your family grows, your opportunities grow. You know, that's growing. All connected. So, you know, if nothing else, just understand, fine, 2021 is not starting off with them promising you tomorrow, or, you know, on January 1st, that you're going to be able to go outside without a mask. But get everything out of the room. If you got 6 more months of having to deal with 2021 the same way you had to deal with 2020, deal with it in a manner in which when you come out smoking, because you already know. First day they let me out of this room, and that's what happened with me. Even when I was on the street, people understand, like, you know, when people will say, how do you speak the way you do? How do you have this? How do you have so many people following you? How is it that you get these invitations? How do you do this stuff? It was like, man, I understand. I was waiting. I was like a like a caged animal almost. But it was like
a monk in a monastery.
You know? But when they let me out and it was time for me to go, I was exercised. I was mentally exercised. I had been stimulating myself. And so even though all I had the cage, I was still studying outside of the cage. You know, that once I got out, you can't stop me. And so that's, you know, that's my mindset. Now, 2021 for me and my group, we're calling it the year of pursuit. Like, we're pursuing everything, you know.
Ooh,
so use
2021 say that again. Say that
to pursue
again.
Your knowledge, to pursue the promises, to pursue your relationships, to pursue being a better human being. If you've got a spouse, you know, find a way. Do something simple for your spouse in the morning. If you got a wife, do something simple. Like, when you wake up, you know, rub her feet. Put her shoes on. You know, do something like that. Something simple like that. That's 5 minutes of your day, but that's 5 minutes of intimacy that you might not ever have a chance to have again. You know,
that is the love doctor, everybody. The love doctor is in the house.
Because she thinks about you. So anyway, you know, I know I've rambled a lot, but
nah,
but,
you
know,
ain't rambling, bro.
Yeah.
Yo, I just want to say, Ray, since I want to take two or three parts that you just talked about, Brother Kobe, and we're going to bring it in. One, since this 2020, I wanted to tell you something. There's been amazing things. Now, I'm checking the facts on this, on some of this stuff, and don't keep tracking it, but I'm going to put it out there anyways. But there is a talk of a bill. I don't know how they doing it. I think it's based out of Georgia. I saw it and briefly, and then I looked at the article, a little bit of it. But, you know, as these, you know, we these days, I like to even agree with Tone on one thing when he said, you know, Trump said one thing true. There is some fake news out there, so we have to be careful. They are out of Georgia. I believe it's Georgia or in one of the southern states. They are formulating a bill of reparations, and they're trying to take it to the federal government to reestablish some kind of payment to those who it wasn't payment. They was trying to reestablish or ratify the amendment, the 13th Amendment, and try to wipe out the part that you shall be servitude, slavery. If you are arrested, you are automatically considered a slave under the 13th Amendment. What they talked about a little bit was that, you know, we need to take that part out because you can't lose all your rights as a human being. You're still a human being, even though you may have done something wrong or you may have been being put in jail. Your 13th Amendment should be still be applied, but not to the extent of you losing your whole, you know, your whole attributes and everything. You know what I mean? That's just one. The other issue is, you know, yes, we need to be more loving towards our women. Now, no matter if you're black, white, or anything, but you need our women need to be respected and elevated as much as possible. And if you're calling yourself a man or a person that has a good woman in your house, and you do not want to see her, you're going to lose her. Okay, so we would talk about that. Now, the other issue we're going to talk about is you know, with the COVID situation going on and everything else, and we talked about the George Floyd situation, we've gone into those issues as well. But 2020 for me has been an amazing, exhausting almost, but, you know, a year. I mean, it's mixed, it's up, it's down, it's, I may, you know, we all might have lost some people along the way, and, you know, we just need to learn how to, you know, take that, because I like to quote what Steve Harvey says, how can you know the difference between winning if you never lost anything? And it's like, okay, I win every time, but how can I tell when I lost something? If you don't lose, you can't tell the difference between winning and losing. And we have to be able to keep that mindset constantly. And when we do what we do, I'll take on 2020 for me personally is a starting point of growth for myself. Love is been a hell of a kind of thing. You know, some of you brothers know. You know, it's not easy. But when it comes to trying to deal with people that have passed away. Yes, it's been hard for me as well. But we've also seen some things that, you know, where now we have the powerhouse squad. We're moving. We're going forward. Next year, I saw you, we got new shows coming in. We got the NSF TV network about to launch in May. we're growing. We're doing things. These are the things that we have lost, but we're going to get that back. We're going to get something back in return. You know, you have to prepare yourself, but to prepare yourself, you got to know how well you have it now. And when you go forward, you can say, well, look where I'm at. This is what I'm doing right now. So, you know, it's been that time. Now, I personally, I'm going to say this. I love everybody that I've been working with, I've reached out to, and that has responded back, yes. Okay? And, you know, I mean, I'm not the most professed person in the world. I don't have 1 million followers. I don't have celebrity status or any of that thing. But I do have a mind that has been built over almost over three generations of knowledge and growth that has allowed me to be able to come out here to the world and say, listen, you know what? We need to help people. People are indeed needing this help. You know, the National Saving Fatherhood Foundation has been growing, and we are building a good team slowly, but, you know, it's finding the right niche. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, with that being said, you know, I just want to say, you know, I appreciate you, brothers. You know what I mean? And next year, yo, we are going to take it. I mean, here's not going to – there's going to be a point that, you know, you brothers, you won't even be able to go out the door without cameras or somebody trying to get your picture and say, hey, that's Tone. Ain't that Tone from the Powerhouse Squad? Or ain't that – oh, man, that's brother Kobe. Oh, my God. Yo, Kobe, can I get your autograph? Tone, can I get your autograph? Bro, what's going on? You know, that kind of mentality. We can elevate ourselves if we work together in unison and make 2021 the year of us. And I don't mean just us on this radio station or us on this call right now or any of that. I mean us as a community, as a society, as a nation, and as a whole. Okay? We can do those things. You know, we just have to be able to look at ourselves and look at what we're doing and you know, be mindful of that your words has an effect. Remember, cause and effect. What causes the effect? The word. In the beginning, if you look at the scripture, says in the book of Matthew, says, in the beginning there was the word. And if we look at the word and you know, we shall see that those words that come out your mouth, that thought process that comes out your mouth, that action that comes out your mouth, that movement that comes out your mouth into your body, those things can affect a multitude of people. And our goal is to affect, but we want to make sure it's a positive effect in everything we do. Any motion you make in your life, try to make it to the best. Make next year the best year, but you're going to have to put yourself together. Right there, sit down, write a plan together, and we keep going on. Now, since I got my brothers on the squad, I wanted to get asked a question. So, Brother Kobe, you said you've been doing all this health stuff. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You inspired me. Did you know that?
I didn't.
You didn't? Okay, well, here's... All right, just what I just did. I've been doing behind many, many doors. I am queuing up. I'm going to let everybody know. I am intending to start to try the process of Dr. Sabi's cleansing and working on my diabetes. Now, a lot of y'all might not know, I have type 2 diabetes. And being a diabetic is very hard. And trust me, I got diabetic neuropathy in my feet, and sometimes it's hard. It's not with people that have regular feet, you know, or the arches or normal arches in their feet, it might be a little bit, you know, less harder. But when you have somebody like me, I have what they call flat feet. That's one of the reasons I tried to join the Marines when I was younger, and I didn't even know they still doing this, but they called me 4F. And they told me that, well, you know what? We can't accept you. You got flat feet. I said, huh? What do you mean flat feet? He said, your arches are not properly and you wouldn't be able to do the work. And he kept giving me all this stuff about what it meant. And so I you know, when I got diagnosed with diabetes for almost 20-something years ago, I believe I was about, yeah, I think I was about 26. I was 26 years old. And I just got off a party. You know, I had one of my wild, crazy parties. And I was trying to be rebellious at the time, you know. Next thing I know, I come off the bus. At this time, I was living in Massachusetts. And what happened was I got dizzy. And first, the doctors had kept me in the hospital already a week prior before the diagnosis of diabetes for something else, but they said that they should have caught that, but they didn't. So instead of me being borderline diabetic, I ended up full on diabetic, type 1, and then they kept switching me back and forth. So I didn't know how serious diabetes was at the time because, you know, I was one of those, you know, strong minded, all I need to do is just eat right, and that's it. And I said, okay, I quit the pork, quit this, I quit that, no shellfish, but I never really kept it really looked at it seriously. Brings us down to 2020, going into 21. What I did recently is I started going out there. I got the list from Dr. Sabi's you know, certain foods that's good to help lower your A1C and keep your diabetes under control. And I'm starting the process, you know, and we keep on doing those things. But we're gonna take a caller right now. We have a call from area code 202-425. All right. I want to bring you on right now. Just keep it going and keep it moving on. All right. Carla, you are on the air with the Powerhouse Squad on NSF Radio Show. So how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I was calling to give props to Kofi and also to you for the show. And I wanted to know, what was your biggest challenge finding out you had diabetes?
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, the biggest thing for me with my diabetes has been trying to maintain a balance, whether holistically or here or medically, Western medicine wise. Some of the problems I've tried to do is just maintain that mentality of what it means to be a diabetic, and you know, it's emotionally. And one thing is, it's borderline, believe it or not, it can borderline crazy, drive you crazy. And you know, for me, it's been a roller coaster that I don't wish on anybody, no, not even your own worst enemy. What I tell people every day is that when you're diabetic, please make sure you watch what you eat, what you put in. And, you know, the greatest thing I can tell anybody that is diabetic or that does have diabetes is, do not go out to eat. That's the biggest thing I tell. Yes, I understand your girlfriend or your boyfriend wants to take you out to dinner. Do not do that. Make your biggest thing for dating, or if you're out in the social world, getting to know people, home-cooked meals, because you control what's in your food, okay? There's a lot of links now. I've been finding out for years now, for the past couple of years, that, you know, they are exposing the secret ingredients, like KFC and KFC chicken. What ingredients that makes that chicken taste good? Well, so here's what I did. I got the recipe. I critiqued it a little bit. I took the bad stuff out, and I put better stuff, the good stuff is in it. Like one and only the main ingredient, like for KFC, would be like white pepper, which I did research what white pepper is. White pepper is actually good for you and good for your body. It has some good things that it does for your body. And other thing is the Colonel also puts turmeric in his recipes. So turmeric, which is good, but he uses a low grade of turmeric. And because he goes, you know, he loses a low grade, you're never going to get no protein or anything that turmeric is good for you, for your body. It's not going to hit your body. So you're going to get the worst out of it. You're not going to get the best out of it. Now we could switch to McDonald's. Okay. We got the patties. Now the process for like McDonald's is they freeze their patties. They form it, they make the patty, they put the patty in the freezer, flatten it. Of course, you know, they form it, after they form it, they go through a flat process through a machine. But what I do is I take that, I say, okay, I put healthy ingredients into it so I can get the same coating, same thing going through that process. If you're going to talk about Wendy's, Wendy's uses what they call a four-corner press. Well, they wiped out that. There's no more operating griller. They don't even have grill operators, so they fired all the grill operators or they switched them over to different positions. Everything's done by a machine. So, you know, you just look at what they are doing, the normal, the way they used to do it. You can still do it at home. You just got to look at the process that they use and the ingredients they use into it. And then you can take the bad out and keep the good that's in it, and you're able to still get the proper nutrition that you're supposed to get from their foods. When it comes to certain other things, is I tell people stay away from tofu. Tofu is bad for diabetics. Yes, it's good for vegetarians. Vegetarians does use a lot of tofu, or vegans do not. But you know, if what you try to do is, you try to make sure that you know when you're cooking food, and yes, you want that meat taste, and you're trying to walk away from it. Don't rely on what they, you know, what we used to know. Find out what's going on today. You can research the past, but know what's going on in science today, in aquaculture. Study aquaculture. There's a doctor you can research. His name. His name is Dr. Ridgely Muhammad. Dr. Ridgely owns he is a farmer, and he owns over, I think it's 200 acres of farmland. He farms from watermelons, baby beans, to corn. And he doesn't even eat the corn. He takes the corn, uses the corn or the navy beans sometimes. If they're not eating it, they use it to enrich the soil. So basically you just try to keep yourself, you make sure that soil is actually helping the other process of the other vegetables, so you can able to get those nutrients. The other thing is, you know, I think we spoke about this before on a last other show, was we talked about the actual purposes of a certain foods that, you know, they, you know, like, okay, well, the cow eats the grass, and we eat the cow, but the nutrients that the cow is eating or getting from the ground or the soil, you know, why don't we just cut the cow out and eat the actual vegetables or the actual nutrients, and get the nutrients from, instead of eating the cow. So we go into those kind of things as well. So these are the things that has affected me as a diabetic, and I trust me. If you know a true diabetic that really wants to do something and change his life around, they will have abundance of information for you. Now, which brings me to my question is, what does 2020 mean to you?
You're asking me what 2020 means to me. 2020 means refocusing on priorities, figuring out what was important and what wasn't important, finding encouragement in places, unlikely places to find encouragement, because there were just so many unknowns, and there's still a lot of unknowns. But I think 2020 meant to me was just figuring things out and going with the flow.
Okay. So, all right, you've been going with the flow. I understand that. And, you know, but now, so do you have plans for 2021? What is your plans for 2021? You got anything big planned? Any big moves that you like to make or you would, or you looking to make? Or what kind of things do you see yourself trying to accomplish in 2021?
I kind of don't like to. I'm very overly private, maybe, but I guess in 2021, I see myself pursuing things outside of the norm, outside of just the 9-to-5. I've done that every year, you know, since probably about 2005 or before. And now I think, you know, 2020 just put things in perspective as to, okay, maybe you can make a lot more money doing this, but what is it you really want to do? What is your passion? What is your purpose? So
yes,
that's what I see for 2021, doing things that fulfill me, make me happy.
Oh, okay. All right. So, you know, we just always wanted to know, you know, we like to know what the audience thinks about what you feel like. And when I say, you know, we appreciate you and your information and just, and we wish you the best for the 2021. I know 2020 has been something up and down for a lot of people, but, you know, we wanted to say, you know, we appreciate you for listening. And, hey, just one last thing, what state you call from and then, what part of the country or the world you calling from?
Calling from North America, calling from Georgia.
Okay, Georgia is in the house. We appreciate you. All right, right, right. And we thank you for calling on. We'll allow you to keep listening, keep on logging in every Thursday to the Powerhouse Squad. We definitely appreciate you. And once again, all right. My name is Brother Alfred and Brother Tone. Yo, I know you got some questions, Brother Fuzzy.
You say I got some questions for you? Repeat that for me. That last part.
I said I know you got some questions for our special guest that just came in too. So come on, brother. Let's dig into the 2020-21 controversy. Or not just the controversy, the elevation of 2021, you know. Now, the question I would have with you, Brother Tone, is what do you think is the most highlighted love story of 2020? And this one, I know you know this one. And if you can read my mind, brother, I got a dollar for you.
you said the most highlighted love story.
You got it, and I hope you can read what I'm thinking.
I don't know. You got me stumped on that one. I'll be honest with you. Oh,
come on. All right, sister. Can you guess what the highlight love story of 2020 was? It actually motivated a new word.
Entanglement.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, see, this is what I'm talking about. Entanglement. See, sister, you know what? We love that. Oh, got it right on there. See. Never underestimate the mind of a woman because you know what? She got you right on.
Yes, she's right on point.
Yeah. All right, entanglement. We heard about the Will Smith situation. That part was just crazy this year. This has been one of them years where new words were formed over love. Entanglement became into the place. Also what the another one was the new movement, the new trend that's been everybody's now stock. I hear on TikTok, I hear on Snapchat, I hear it on Facebook. There's now somehow, I don't know who put the movement out there, but I would tell you what it is. It's now we got this movement where women are starting to say, I love my king a little bit more. Now, they might have said, you know, some sisters kept it in the back, but I see now coming to the forefront. So everybody. You got to look at that, too. That was another thing, that love for your community, love for yourself, love your brothers, love your sisters, love your king, treat your queen with respect. Now there is a back movement that started where, you know, guys are saying, you know what, it's time to take back our crown. Be a man now. You know what I'm saying? A lot of guys, you just, you know, they felt a lot of losing battles today. And we just appreciate those kind of things and appreciate that kind of mentality out there. And, you know, right now, I just want to say, you know, we need to understand that love is a cornerstone for the world. And, you know, what that love is, you know, if you have true love, or real love, better yet, true love is, I'm going to say, is really actually, true love is actually can be assessed as a myth. But real love is something that is can be built over time, or it can be instantly. There really is no really mark on it, because you can follow somebody when they say hello. You can look at that person from across the room and you can say, I'm going to marry that person. I'm going to be married to that person. And that person, I don't even know who you are, but I'm going to marry that person. But, if you take the proper steps, you think before you move, you make things happen, you can definitely make something out of nothing and create a bond that can go past generations. I tell you, like, this year it's been crazy for love for me, for my families, you know, and it's a lot of heartfelt feelings growing. And, you know, we just keep it. You got to keep that motion of love going. Okay. Well, it's past the hour almost. It's 2 o'clock on the time and time again. You know what? We're going to get to pay. It's time to pay the bills. But you know what? It's starting a new year. Guess what? Starting next week, actually, from Monday to Wednesday, 10 o'clock p.m. is Midnight Oil. So every Monday to Wednesday, every Monday to Friday, okay, and go on and so forth. Every all week long, you will be able to tune in and listen to the Midnight Oil with King Cam. So reaching to the moon.
What's going on? You're listening to Midnight Oil with King Cam on NSF Radio, where you get music, motivation, and more.
And, yo, don't forget, yours and truly, the Powerhouse Squad is always on the radio. No matter where you're at, we got it here for you. Keeping it real, keeping it 100 for you, working hard right there to make sure that you get the right information, the sound of truth. You know the Powerhouse Squad.
Tune in to the Powerhouse Squad on NSF Radio Show. Every Thursday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
All right. So, you know, we're keeping it real, keeping it 100 for you. We appreciate you all coming on today and keeping it all going. Also, don't forget, NSF TV Red Network will be launching in May 26th. So, please, send an email out to us and let us know what you're going on. You know what to do. Go to nsfatherhood.org/contact. Contact and say, I want my NSF TV. And if you put that into the quote, you might even win a prize. You might even get to, you know, right now we're handing out Obama coats. You can pick out, if you want a Kobe Speaks coat or a Brother Tone Robbins coat, all right there for you. Definitely. Or better yet, if you like your true man, the man of the hour right here, I like to puff myself up a little bit. But anyway, I just say, you know what I'm saying? You can get yourself a Brother Alfred's coat right there for you and sport it in your neighborhood. And you know what? We got the NSF crew is always here for you, right there for you. Don't forget to come in every week, every Thursday, to the Powerhouse Squad. We are constantly doing out there. Also, if you're in the Washington, D.C. area or you want to go online, join the movement. Support your black businesses. And today's black business we want to keep it moving is Moselle's Jewelers out of Washington, D.C. Moselle. It is the fine diamond dime. I also want to give a shout out to my associates and our supporters out there. with Paycom, paycom.com. If you are a small business and you're going through stress and you are having that issue where you cannot reach the sole sanity of handing your HR to human resources, paycom.com is there for you. So we're going to get into the hour. Now, listen, we're going to get into a little bit of music and get to the next part of the segment right now for you. Hello. All right, we get into the next part of the show. We're upright. We're getting into the faith based. Listen, this part, I call it a freelance. Okay, everybody gets to speak on religion, anything aspect, anything about that, educating people. We like to make sure that we're giving those who do not have true wisdom, make sure that you have true wisdom. We want to make sure that you understand the truth of the matter, not just what you hear on the streets, okay? What you hear on the street might be just wrong. Now, I'm going to go into the pieces. I had a special request today to talk to, and a gentleman I've been working with on some other projects. Believe it or not, he is a believer in the Vikings. He's a Viking. He believes in the North gods. Odin. He said not Loki. You know, Thor. All them, Eric the Red, and all that. And he wants to make sure that people understand that, you know, this is not your, you know, what they think on cartoons. He wants you to make sure you understand that, you know, the North God Odin, when you see the slanted moon, the moon looks like an eye peeking, he's in there in their belief there, that is called Odin's eye. And Odin is watching to make sure that you are being a true warrior, a new true father, you know. And it's during this time that, and last week, they had the Yule log, you know, and part of that tradition is, okay, well, you sit, you smoke, you drink until you can't drink no more, and then you drink some more, and then after you drink some more, you pray. And after you pray, you contest yourself to your love wife or and everything, and to be a true Viking is believe it or not, to be a true Viking is to be an honor among your community, as well as a great provider for your family. Those kind of things that people might have is. It's not all about screaming and riding boats. No, it's not just about that. It's not about silly wearing dresses or anything like that. No, they do wear kilts. They wear a certain thing because you got to remember Vikings on theology came out of Sweden, Norway, Iceland area, and that is where those where you heard the Celtic gods were once. Part of there, which comes out of Ireland, you think about those things coming to play. You know, personally, I wanted to tell you, you know, those kind of things are real in their eyes, those people that worship that. So you got to understand some of the old ways that you might have heard through passing has come along. Also, there was a couple of great black Vikings that were not acknowledged during their time. In fact, Eric the Red, one of his right hands was a Ethiopian warrior, and he would help Eric the Red with the missions when they went out for hunts or they went out to conquer lands. He was right there by his side. So a lot of us don't know about these things, and we need to be educated on that. Real quick,
just if you're talking about Vikings as well, understand Viking is not the Viking is not necessarily connected to the religion too. So when you hear people tell you that or whatever, like a Viking was a profession. If you know, like you could be a sailor, a sailor, you know, but you can be an American sailor, you can be an English sailor. So a Viking was not talking about the nationality. A Viking is actually talking about, like, you would go Viking. If somebody were going to do Viking stuff, you go Viking. So even with that stuff you talk about with Norse mythology and the Ulog and all those different things, that's actually something that's connected to Scandinavian people. You know, Vikings themselves were not necessarily the people. They were a group of people who worked in a particular field and they went Viking. So Scandinavian people in and of themselves are not Vikings. Vikings are not necessarily Scandinavian. And so the religions of stuff, you know, is not necessarily a Viking religion, but it's actually a Scandinavian religion of people of that place as well.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, now I get to learn something. Okay. Well, I say, you know what? I remember a kid. I used to watch what was that show? Hercules. With Kevin Sorbo. And I remember. Oh, sorry. I used to listen to Kevin Sorbo, and there was an episode where they met Thor and Loki and the North gods. And I didn't know who that was. I just took it as an episode. But as I grew older, I started studying certain things, like the Celtic. Then I started understanding the Hinduism, Indie, certain other faiths as time grew on. The understanding of the Indie, that what they call the ink. I think it was it's not tattooing, but it was I don't know the terminology. I can't remember the term. But they would, you know, put designs on all over the woman's body, and she would, you know, dress to do a spiritual dance and certain things like that, and like karma. Where does karma come from? And those kind of instances I've been studying for over years now. And I look at everything and I say, you know what? Everything's connected. You can try to divide as much as you want, but that's your opinion to divide. We cannot divide the people. We cannot divide the society. We cannot divide this world. This world is one. If we think about it, in the beginning of the earth, we had Pangea. Pangea was one continent. Then the earth shifted and shaked and broke apart. And over the centuries, it drifted. But those who were on the continent during the time of Pangea, they migrated to certain parts of it. Earth moved and the plates started to shift. It formed new lands. And as the waters started to move in certain areas, you know, we developed certain things, you know, new different ways of thinking, different ways of living. But the basis was always there. When we worship in today's society, it's still the same, but we lost the core value of what worship means. And I see it on a ground level as well as what's above board. And that ground level is everything is connected. If you worship what they say, God created everything, okay? All right? So if you worship within the tree, you're still worshiping the God. You cannot worship the God because God created the tree. So you know what I'm saying? So if you're praying to the one, you're actually praying to all. You're not cutting the middleman. You're just adding another block into the road. If you say I worship a man, then you know what? Then you're worshiping that entity that was created from the original being or the original situation. Now we can go on to this for all day or all night, but I just want to make sure you all understand that it's time for us to try to not to think in division anymore. Don't hate because God don't teach us to hate others. He teaches us to love one another, but he also teaches us to be wary of those who will deceive you or take you off the path. So I tell that to everybody. And, you know, I just want to make sure everybody understands that we are a whole human society. It's those who want to put a downtrodden or a down thought or a down complex issue about that. You know, so I'm going to leave the floor up to you brothers right now for a few seconds. Listen, listen, we got 15 minutes left in the show. I'm giving it up. All right. I know I'm going to say the best for last, but Brother Tone, what you think on faith right now? What is the core thing that we can take in 2021 to help heal the boundaries that we are faced in 2020 in the past and move better into, you know, in 2021 that we can, so we can come together no matter what the faith is, because that seems to be a roadblock for a lot of us today. How can we work together and not let division of faith in today's world take it into 2021?
I mean, it's pretty easy. At the end of the day, you know, just respect others. Respect others and their culture, cultural beliefs, their belief system as a whole. You know, for the most part, what people should start doing is just centering themselves and focusing on themselves. I think often we spend too much time, you know, in these times trying to find any means of judging others based upon any label, albeit from, you know, complexion, religion, to and or, you know, political choice, political preferences. And I think if people just really just, you know, for lack of better words, mind their own damn business and just, you know, what you're there for, focus on the overall global agenda as opposed to just trying to, you know, break people down, you know, from a segmented standpoint based on what their personal beliefs is, you know, albeit Allah, you know, Jesus, Buddha, whatever you choose to, you know, believe in. At the end of the day, you know, your creator is your creator. You know, the Most High is your Most High. And if you center yourself and you totally operate, you know, in brotherly love, at the end of the day, I think we can get more accomplished as opposed to worrying about trying to, alienate people because of their personal choices or beliefs.
I'm going to try. I mean, there was a mouthful said by both of you brothers. And so, you know, I'm going to try my hardest to not take too long, especially because we're running out of time, but to try and address as much as possible. Because I think, once again, we go to these places where people, we kind of say things, but I don't know if we necessarily are going by etymology, going by history, going by what people have told you, going by what you think for yourself. Because even just something as simple as if we're going to talk about the individual, how do you talk about the individual without the society? How do you talk about the society without the individual? And even certain words that we use, we don't understand Anglo or ancient English, or, you know, we don't speak ancient English anymore. So when you're using certain words, when you talk about religion, for example, every single person who has ever existed on the planet and has lived 2 seconds, has lived 200 years, they have a religion. Because the word religion simply means religion. What do you do repetitively as a legion? If you're somebody who takes care of your finances, guess what? You religiously take care of your finances. If you're somebody who brushes your teeth, you religiously brush your teeth. The question, I don't think, is so much people's religion. I think the thing is your religion something that changes lives? Is it something that, first of all, is beneficial to you, and does it help you to help society? Because even when people will say, you know, I'm not religious, they're trying to say I'm agnostic or I'm atheist, but atheists are religious. Atheists religiously study certain things. If you're an evolutionist, you're religious. You have to have faith even, you know, these terms we use. Even psychology, you'll have somebody say you're an atheist, but they'll be an atheist psychologist. Well, the word psychology literally means the study of the soul. How do you say you don't believe in the soul or the pneuma, the spirit, which is pneumatical thought, or different terms? It's because we've been taught, first of all, terms wrong. So we have debates and arguments and a lot of things not even based on real things. For example, real quick, once again, you know, you guys know I'm a pastor. You guys know I'm not a Christian, but I am a pastor, or what people call a pastor, right? If I go somewhere to talk and somebody asks me, this has happened to me in the past many times, and somebody asks me, you know, they might believe where I'm going to speak or going to be part of a group discussion or whatever. Somebody will say, oh, well, you know, we believe in reincarnation. We believe in reincarnation. And I'll say, well, so do we. And people will get crazy looking, but I'm like, well, we believe that Yahshua is incarnate. And he was reincarnate, and he's going to be reincarnated again. He's coming back again. What do you call that, right? So we might agree on the term, but now we got to start getting into the thing. So, you know, as far as what does the actual term mean, or what does it mean to somebody? At the end of the day, religion should not stop you from black people coming together. Religion should not stop you from treating somebody with respect. Brother Alfred and I, you know, Brother Alfred is somebody who's a leader in the Muslim community. I'm somebody who's a leader in the, some people would try to label me Christian, you know, whatever, the biblical community. At the end of the day, it doesn't mean we can't talk on a radio show. I think people have tricked us even into believing that our religions are stuff that should split us, because I've never met somebody who I straight up didn't like just because they didn't believe in God. But people would tell you that that's the reason things happen. You know, people would tell you that we don't talk to each other because of belief. Now, are there some people who are foolish enough to believe that? Sure, but let's be honest. Like, I'm not a Republican or a Democrat, but let's be honest. If you have a Republican who tells you that they're stronger than you because of their belief in God or whatever, right? They don't understand that somebody has used that to split you up. But the very Bible that you read does not say that just because somebody doesn't believe what you believe means that you're a better person or you deserve salvation more than they do. Matter of fact, the very Bible you believe in would say something along the lines of, even if you come at the end of it on your deathbed and you decide that you're going to give your life to the Most High, then you still would get the same privileges and perks that the other person would get. That is a different mindset than what they're being given. So somebody has used little pieces of things and used politics to therefore get you to move. And I think that's what we have to get to, is who are the people that are really running the show? Because we act like little Pastor Kofi over here is on the same level as, you know, the Rothschild family. I'm not controlling you. You know, at the end of the day, you're going to get more, you're going to find more news programs that will have you split up, even though they're owned by the same people. You're going to have the same people that will own the Democratic news programs and the Republican news programs, and yet they're going to get you and I to try and believe that it's me, or it's that somebody like me who's causing the divide in your life, when they'll be the same people owning the same stuff, telling people to say the same things, and then telling people to slightly alter some of the words so that if you're a Republican, you'll believe it, or you're a Democrat, you'll believe it. Who are the people that are in power? I think that's what you got to start doing, because I have not ever lost a relationship with somebody because they believed in Buddha. I've never lost a relationship with somebody or hated somebody because they said Allah instead of Elohim. Matter of fact, if you know how language works, some people will say Allah and still believe in the Bible, because Allah does not mean different than Elohim as far as the basic terminology. You know, so we got people that are arguing and fighting about this stuff, not realizing that it's really not the religion. Who controls, and what is the religion being used for? You know, we know there's a difference between the 1611 King James Version of the Bible, the actual Paleo-Hebrew version of the Bible, and the slave Bible. Does that mean that the Paleo-Hebrew original version of the Bible agrees with the slave Bible, or that we should fight each other? Because no. Matter of fact, we should teach you to make sure that you come out of it. When I teach about race in racial relations, I do so to try and get people to understand if we all come out of a black womb, that we should be more together than we should be separate. But we become separatists not because of the religion or what it even states, but because of the people who control it, even the people who are the leaders. Who are the people who are the leaders, right? Who are the people who are the leaders? Who are the teachers? Who are the masters? Who are the people who are supposed to be the rabbis, the pastors, whatever you think, whatever you want to call yourself, your position, the archbishops, the popes, whatever. Who are these people and what are they teaching you? You know, it's like Malcolm said in the famous speech when they tried to say Elijah Muhammad was teaching everybody to hate. And Malcolm said, who is it that taught you to hate the color of your skin? They were trying to blame the religion, but he said, who taught you to hate the color of your skin? Who taught you to hate your hair? Who taught you to hate your nose? Right? You want to come and talk about Elijah Muhammad preaches hate? Well, maybe you should worry about who taught you hate in the first place that would even cause Elijah Muhammad to need to be in existence. You see what I'm saying? We have a weird perspective on this, and we're trying to, you know, we have a weird perspective, and we're trying to make it about the religiosity. And if you know me, if we come together to talk about black, black diaspora, I'm okay with leaving your religion at home. I'm okay with making the main thing the main thing. If you're somebody who's an LGBTQ plus person, and I don't necessarily believe that's something that's righteous for you at the end of the day, if we're talking about humanity, I don't need to go ahead and bust out Leviticus and start hitting you over the head with words of the Bible and say that's not the time or place. So I get what people mean by that, but I think it's, once again, the leadership and the people who are in place. Do you really think, as much as I wish it was this, do you really think it is the black pastor who has the power, or who do you think has power of the black pastor? Do you think that it is the hip-hop person who is speaking what they're speaking, that they have that they're actually in power? Or do you think it's the person that signs his check and says, this is what you will perform, this is what you will say, this is what you will say about your women, this is what you will call them, right? Do you think that the person who's about black-on-black crime, or says black-on-black crime out of your mouth, or portrays it in a movie or something, is the problem? Or do you think it is the person that will not hire a black person to act unless they show you black-on-black crime and lift it up? Even the word worship, and I'm done because I know we ran out of time, even the word worship, it means extreme respect. At its most basic definition, of its most basic working definition, it means to extremely respect. And guess what? There's people who extremely respect money. Should we worship money, just, or should we bow down to it, or say, hey, it's good that you worship money, just because somebody says, well, my religiosity or my belief system, hey, I won't bow down to money. Money does not control me. At the end of the day, though, does it mean that we still can't work together just because you think everything's about money? No, it doesn't. If what drives you is money, I probably need to work into our plan overall how money will be able to be a reward for you if that's the carrot that you need. If the carrot that I need is humanity and filling the need, guess what? We can work that into where the main thing still is the main thing. So even when we talk about religion, I think we go into this place of first going into division to try and talk about how to undivide. And the reality is, it's not the religions or even the religious leaders that are dividing. It's the people who have power and teach you and I what we're supposed to do and tell you what your religion is supposed to do. They're the gods, really, that are telling you how to live your life. And we think that we're worshiping God a lot of times, when reality is we're worshiping men and then using what men tell us to be able to try and tell people what God tells us to be able to follow these men.
Yeah, Brother Kofi, man, let me tell you something, brother. I appreciate you being there, because you know what? A lot of us get misunderstanding, mismeanings. If you don't take time to study something and just go what you heard or what you think you understood or misunderstood, you're going to end up falling trapped, and you're going to put yourself in a conundrum where you start to hate. I met a sister one time. I was on TikTok one time. It's a black sister. Her mom's white, her dad's black, but her mind was so hateful towards others who did not believe in Jesus. And she's sitting there with painting. As she's doing it, she's painting Yang from that show, Airbender, the last Airbender. But she doesn't know Yang, believe it or not, was a spiritual person. And meditation and prayer was part of the monk's cornerstone. And it does not really go with the diaspora that she was thinking about. She's quoting Jesus, but she's not saying time she's moving. She's quoting other things. I'm going to leave it right there for you. I want to say to everybody, it's been a good year. Appreciate you. I hope you all follow us into next year. And, you know, we keep pushing out good content every week. Powerhouse Squad is going to be here. Let you know, next week, we will be starting off a little bit different. So we got some new surprises for you, some new movements for you, some new news for you, and we're going to keep from there. My name is Brother Alfred, and this is the Powerhouse Squad. Powerhouse Squad, sound off.
Peace and Happy New Year to all.
This is Kofi here. Jumbo, have a great day, have a great year, and continue to stay focused. Shalom.
All right. All right. Happy New Year to everybody. If we don't get the stars here tonight, sleep tight. Don't get to bed, bro. Right? Keep it cool.
Let's start the show. Tune in to NSF Radio.
Give me a deep
host, Brother Alfred, and